Okay, yesterday and today we already heard quite a bit on efforts going towards next-to-next to leading order calculations for jet observables. We heard a bit about the motivations, improving knowledge on pattern distributions, improving knowledge on the fine structure constant. So I don't have to go into all these things again, but can go right into what you actually have to do to carry out a next-to-next to leading order calculation. So in order to compute a jet observable, an NJET type of observable at the next-to-next to leading order in perturbation theory, you basically need three principal ingredients, which are two-loop matrix elements for the n-parton process, which are one-loop matrix elements for the n-plus-1 parton process, and which are tree-level matrix elements for the n-plus-2 parton process. All these things have to be combined together in order to get an NJET cross-section accurate to the next-to-next to leading order in perturbation theory. Now, we know all these ingredients. We know them, for example, for E plus E minus to 3 jets. We know them already this year for 2 years, these perhaps for 10 years, and these for 18 years. So why can't we just put these things together in order to get out next to leading order predictions for E plus E minus going to 3 jets? The main point why we can't just put these things together is the occurrence of infrared singularities. If you look at these two-loop matrix elements, they have infrared singularities, which in dimensional regularization are expressed by poles up to 1 over epsilon to the fourth. These ones have explicit poles 1 over epsilon squared, but if you then start integrating them in order to get an NJET configuration out of an n plus 1 parton final state, you immediately pick up another 2 poles in epsilon. So these are, if integrated in order to yield you an NJET observable, these also give you 1 over epsilon to the 4 terms. And likewise, these objects here, you can combine 2 of the partons with the remaining partons such that you, again, enter into generating infrared singularities expressed in dimensional regularization by poles up to 1 over epsilon to the 4th. And it is the presence of these infrared singularities which prevents you from just putting all the pieces you have together in order to get your next-to-next-to leading order NJET cross-section out. And techniques for combining these pieces go usually via subtraction terms. Subtraction terms mean that you introduce terms which correctly account for the behavior of your n+1, n+2 parton matrix elements in all the singular regions, but which are still sufficiently simple that you can get out your infrared poles, and you get a cancellation with your virtual contributions. There's a number of suggestions for these subtraction terms, but so far at the next-to-next-to leading order level, none of them has been consistently implemented. Now, what's the status of real corrections at the next-to-next-to leading order? The issue, first of all, the issue is to compute this double real radiation cross-section, which is made up from an n+2 parton matrix element integrated over an n+2 parton phase space, weighted with a prescription which tells you how to recombine n+2 partons in order to form NJETs. And this, of course, depends on the n+2 momenta on which this matrix element and this phase space depend. This, from the occurrence of double infrared singularities, is proportional to 1 over epsilon to the fourth. And the thing is how to evaluate this quantity here. And there are two approaches on the market. One approach, which Babis will talk about later on this afternoon, which is to take this object here at face value and to evaluate it in such a way that you take this object where you have all the singularities, in fact, sitting hidden, and you expand it in distributions. Then you decompose the final state phase space into sectors corresponding to different singular configurations, which is the procedure of iterated sector decomposition, which Gudrun explained beforehand. And then you compute the integrals in each sector numerically. Then you don't bother how complicated the integrand is, because you can just compute it numerically, since by expanding your matrix element and phase space factor in the distributions, you have singled out the poles in dimensional regularization, and then you can compute the finite coefficients of these pole terms here. The other approach, which I'm going to talk about, is the evaluation with a subtraction term. state of the art for both approaches is that they have been both tested on E+E- to two jets, which is rather a proof of principle than a process of phenomenological importance, since there are not many observable quantities which directly relate to the E+E- to two jets. So the infrared subtraction terms are terms which allow you to characterize the infrared behavior of an n parton, n plus two parton final state in the limit where two of these partons become either soft or collinear. You have different singular configurations. You have a triple collinear configuration, a double single collinear configuration, where two of these partons are still hard in the sense that they carry a sizable momentum fraction, but are unresolved because they're emitted at very small angles with respect to the other partons. And you also have configurations where either one or two of these partons become soft. And all these configurations together form the infrared structure or at the next-to-next-to leading order. Now what you observe, what people actually observed almost 10 years ago, is that you have a factorization in all these limits, that you can factorize your matrix elements into structures which resemble a matrix element which has only n partons times a coefficient. And this coefficient, if you integrate over the phase space attributed to the two unresolved partons, this coefficient will make the infrared singularities explicit. Now, the issue is to find subtraction functions which approximate this matrix element in all the singular limits, which you have listed here, but are still sufficiently simple to be integrated analytically in order to get your pole terms out. Now, I'm not going to talk about how subtraction works at the next to leading order. You had this in several talks this morning, so I will just skip this and go immediately to the next to leading order, just making a small side remark that if you look at two jet production at the next to leading order, the way your subtraction works is basically that your subtraction term is identical to the three-parton matrix element, which is the next to leading order contribution to three jets, single real radiation, only multiplied with different jet functions, with different jet definitions. And this can be easily visualized if you look at the two jet cross section in a subtraction formalism. Then you have two contributions, one from genuine three-parton final states and one from two-parton final states. Now, in the three-parton final states, what you want to have is the contribution from three partons forming two jets. And what you actually evaluate in the three-parton channel is the contribution from three partons going to two jets minus the inclusive contribution from three partons to any number of jets, which is parameterized by this jet function, which determines the probability of forming two jets out of two partons, which is unity. And so the way subtraction of the two-jet cross-section works at the next to leading order is that you subtract the inclusive cross-section in the three-parton channel and add it back in the two-parton channel. With this, you have a numerically finite expression in the three-parton channel and an analytic cancellation of the pole terms in the two-parton channel. Now, going on to next-to-next-to leading order, you can start playing the same game. On the next-to-next-to leading order two-jet cross-section, what you're doing there is, first of all, we look only at the first term, which corresponds to the four-parton final state phase space. There, what you want to have is the four-parton matrix element weighted by jet function determining the probability, determining the prescription for forming two jets out of four partons. And this contains infrared singularities due to double real radiation. So in order to subtract all the singularities, you subtract the full matrix element, integrate it over the inclusive phase space, which is not only the two-jet phase space you're interested in, but also the three-jet phase space and the four-jet phase space. Now, this subtraction here will yield you something which is finite over the two-jet phase space. However, it will contain singularities in the three-jet phase space. And these singularities, which you have over-subtracted here in the subtraction term, you have to add them back in again, such that you have a finite expression for the four-parton channel over the whole two-jet, three-jet, and four-jet final state phase space. Now, coming then to the three-parton channel, already some of the terms which you added in here as subtraction terms, they will come back in the three-parton channel, and this is especially this term which regularizes all the infrared singularities in the three-jet region, which you put back in into this channel. On the virtual one-loop matrix element here in the three-Python channel, you play the same game which you played at next to leading order on the three-Python three-level matrix element, that you just subtract off the full matrix element in order to have a regulator of infrared singularities associated with real radiation in this one-loop three-Python matrix element. Now, all the pieces which you still have left over from the subtractions up here and down here, they have to come back in again in the two-Python channel, and they have to come back in again in an analytically integrated form. So you have to integrate analytically the four-Python matrix element over the four-Python phase space divided by the two-Python phase space, which is so-called tripod phase space. You have to integrate analytically the one-loop three-Python matrix element over the so-called dipole phase space, which is the three-Python phase space normalized to the two-Python phase space volume. And with this, you obtain a numerically finite expression for each channel, and you see explicit cancellation of infrared singularities in each channel. The terms indicated in red are the terms which have to be integrated analytically. So basically what we are left with is the task of integrating four-Python matrix elements over the inclusive four-Python phase space. Now, four-Python phase space integrals, four-particle phase space integrals, inclusive four-particle phase space integrals, is something which people did not really know how to do a few years ago. It is due to the use of the Katkowski rules, which have been around with us for quite a while, in a way which people never have thought of using before, which is reading them not in the way of being able to re-express a loop integral as a phase space integral, but reading them just the other way around, saying, well, I have a phase space integral which is fairly complicated, and I want to re-express this as the difference of two loop integrals. And due to this development, you can then start to apply all the machinery which people have developed over the past years for loop integrals. You can apply these to phase space integrals, and most notably, of course, this, using this relation, you immediately reduce your inclusive four-particle phase space integrals to integrals which are known and which have been mentioned this morning in Hans Kuhn's talk, are known from R ratio calculations and which are implemented in the algebraic manipulation package Mincer. And therefore, you can use integration by parts identities to reduce these inclusive phase space integrals to master integrals. Then you're still left with the task of having to compute a number of master integrals, but you don't have to compute all the different integrals which you can get after squaring your four-particle matrix element. There's just four of these master integrals, and in order to get these four master integrals, you either integrate them directly, which is a difficult task, but which we have accomplished, or you use unitarity to get out some of them, because you can relate these phase-space master integrals. Here we have the phase-space master integral R6, just rotated by 45 degrees to make it look like a vacuum integral, which the people who have written Mincer have computed 25 years ago, and another vertex type correction, which is also known. So just from unitarity, you can get out part of these phase-space integrals. It is, in fact, just one out of the four phase-space master integrals which you don't get out of unitarity. And finally, you can also do these things purely numerically, as Gudrun has explained in her talk this morning. So the same approach also yields then the dipole phase-space integrals of the one-loop matrix element. Also, Gudrun has mentioned this, that you can compute single real radiation diagrams at the one-loop level using these approaches. Now, going on to the E plus E minus going to two jets at the next to leading order level, you have contributions from the two-Python channel expanded up to second-order in perturbation theory, so corrected to the two loops. You have three-Python contributions corrected up to one loop, and you have four-Python contributions contributing at tree level. Now, if you look into the contributions from the subtraction terms, then you have to worry about the integrated subtraction terms, first of all, at the next to leading order from the three-Python channel at tree level, at the next to leading order from the three-Python channel at the one-loop level, and from the four-Python channel at tree level. Now, the infrared pole cancellation at the next to leading order goes between this object here and the one loop correction of the QQ bar contribution, and you see that both of them are equal in magnitude and opposite in sign, such that you have an explicit cancellation, analytic cancellation of the infrared poles. Now, the object which appears in here is the infrared singularity operator, which was originally introduced by Stefano Cattani, and which is the operator which, if acting on a tree-level matrix element, gives you the structure of infrared poles which this matrix element possesses at the one-loop level. And you get the same operator in both the real radiation and the virtual one-loop corrections. Now, the same formula has been written down, a similar formula has been written down by Stefano Cattani for the pole terms of two-loop matrix elements, and the pole terms of the two-loop matrix elements contain then squares of the I1 operator, terms from the renormalization of the one-loop matrix element, terms which are the product of the I1 operator with the one-loop matrix element, then a further term corresponding to coherent gluon radiation, and finally a hard term, which is, however, not contributing to the highest pole parts, but while all these terms are contributing up to 1 over epsilon to the fourth, this term is only contributing to terms of 1 over epsilon. Now, the a similar formula you can also write down for the one-loop self-interference term. Here it is obviously a bit simpler, since you do not have to worry about these coherent gluon radiation objects. Now you can go ahead and look at the infrared poles of your one-loop subtraction term, and there you can already start identifying objects which appeared in the two-loop purely virtual corrections. Here we are looking at the integrated QQ bar gluon, so into the integrated three-parton contribution at the next to leading order level. And there you see that you recover all the terms coming from the renormalization, that you recover all the terms being proportional to the I1 operator times the one-loop matrix element, which are these two here. You recover part of the hard radiation, and you and you identify a completely new object which was not present in the two-loop virtual matrix elements, which is called SV here, and which is, in fact, nothing else but the one-loop correction to the soft gluon current, which has been written down some 5 years ago by Cattani and Guazzini. What they have done, they were considering the soft gluon limit of one loop n plus one parton amplitudes, and they have identified that there you get a modification of your soft iconal factor, which is here the tree-level iconal factor, and this tree-level iconal factor is modified, and it is modified in such a way that you have a one-loop correction to it, a one-loop genuine correction to it, which takes this form, and it is precisely this object here which you recover here in the pole terms of the three-parton one-loop corrected matrix element integrated inclusively over the phase space. Now, observing that this is not present in the two-loop matrix elements also tells us that this contribution has to be fully compensated by the tree-level n plus 2 radiation matrix elements. Now, if we write down the infrared, if we evaluate the infrared poles of the two-particle subtraction term, which we are now in place to do it, since we have all the phase space master integrals, we know how to reduce our four-parton matrix elements to these master integrals, we can insert all these objects, then we see that this soft gluon correction, this one-loop soft gluon current, is fully compensated by the so-called two-particle subtraction term, by the double real radiation term. And also what we get here are all the I1 squared objects. We get the real radiation contribution to the hard coefficient function contributing at the 1 over epsilon level, and we get this term from the coherent gluon radiation. So, having all these ingredients, we observe an explicit analytic cancellation of the poles, in such that if we add together the poles from the two virtual corrections, from the virtual single unresolved and from the double unresolved, they identically add up to zero. And as check on this calculation, we also recover the two-loop result for the hadronic R ratio, which we obtain by adding together the finite remainders which we have left after the subtraction of these poles, and there you see that you get out the hadronic R ratio at the next to next to leading order level. Of course, this is not a way to compute the hadronic R ratio at the n to the 4 LO level, which Hans Kuhn was talking about this morning. It's perhaps one of the most unelegant ways to get the R ratio, but for us it was a very important check that all these infrared subtraction terms had been constructed correctly and integrated correctly. Now, let me summarize here. We formulated a subtraction formalism for double real emission to in E plus E minus going to two jets at the next to leading order level. And what we did was a matrix element subtraction. So we subtracted off whole matrix elements. Then we compute the integrate subtraction terms, which are related to inclusive four-particle phase space integrals. And this computation then went through a reduction procedure and further on from the reduction procedure to the computation of master integrals. Finally, we observed an explicit cancellation of the infrared poles and identified where the one-loop soft gluon current, which people have been knowing about for 5 years now, where this one-loop soft gluon current is cancelled and is fully cancelled by the real emission contributions. There's no contribution from the soft gluon current which goes in any way into the two-loop matrix elements. Now, after the summary, let me terminate with an outlook and a first application of the method which we have been developing here. While being at KITP, we have been working on the alpha S cubed CF cubed contribution to E plus E minus going to three jets at the next to leading order level, which then would be a non-trivial observable. And for this, following the same lines which I outlined here for the two jet, we constructed the subtraction terms, implemented them in the ERAD2 program, which usually was written to compute E plus E minus going to four jets at the next to leading order level, and which also used a matrix element subtraction type of subtraction at next to leading order. With this, we obtained numerically finite five-parton and four-parton contributions. So we were able to cancel off all the double real radiation and single real radiation contributions in the five-parton channel and in the four-parton channel. What we have seen in the two-jet case is that already the n plus one parton channel contains explicit poles in dimensional regularization, and there we observe also in the three-jet case, we observe an explicit cancellation of all analytic 1 over epsilon poles in the four-parton channel, where you have the four-parton matrix element at one loop, compensating with some of the single real radiation subtraction terms in the five-parton matrix element. Also, what we observe is a complete cancellation of all the 1 over epsilon poles up to 1 over epsilon to the 4 down to epsilon to 1 over epsilon to the 1 in the three-parton channel from the integrated subtraction terms, now for the double subtraction terms in the four-parton, and single one-loop subtraction terms for the double subtraction terms in the five-parton and single one-loop subtraction terms in the four-parton. Now, you won't get a number out of this for the moment because we are still working on the numerical stability of this calculation, and numerical stability for this, as you might imagine, since it's the first calculation of this type, is a very serious issue. Thanks a lot.
Let's thank Thomas again. Yeah.